From the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Israel with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and he learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had been seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The word of the Lord. My car needs to be cleaned. It's rather filthy. Quite an embarrassment. Someone needs to clean it. Now, I know how to do the job. In fact, I'm pretty good at it. The problem is there's a breakdown in the need and the want in my heart and soul. Do you feel my pain? I know what needs to be done. But the desire to do what needs to be done is not connecting. Such it is with some of the decisions and challenges before us in life on a daily basis. But you know, at the heart of our text today, there was a transition. As we hear of this epiphany, this revelation from heaven that Jesus has come down for all people, not just the Jewish faith, but even the Gentiles, sharing his love for any and all who will embrace it. Such was this experience for the scribes and the teachers of the faith. Our text tells us that the Magi came from the far east. They traveled great lands. They journeyed to the capital of the faith in Jerusalem. And they sought out the teachers. And they sought out Herod. And they said, "Where shall we find the Messiah?" You see, I think of those scribes, those teachers, as being ones in a far more complex way than me, knowing what the problem was. Much as I knew my car needs to be cleaned, they knew that a Messiah was coming. They knew exactly how to do it, how he was to come. But there was a breakdown in their want in embracing this new Messiah. You see, the Messiah they anticipated coming was for their people. For they, as the chief priests, these leaders in the church, to be risen above the others. It was a time for their restoration. And here, these strangers from the foreign land said, it's not only for a select few, but it's for all people. The revelation, the epiphany, the eye-opening experience of Christ come down for heaven as a child to save His people. That is the story. That is the journey of the wise men. And as they've been translated throughout the years, they're saw as those who are wise. And I would like for us to pause just a moment today and consider what it is that we can learn from the Magi. If they are wise, what can they teach us to be wiser? You know, when I think of the word wisdom, wisdom differing from knowledge in the fact that knowledge is often head knowledge. It's knowing the answers, much like the scribes and Pharisees. But wisdom confines our head and our heart knowledge. It's a willingness and an energy to know when and how to apply the knowledge we have in our head. It's a willingness of the heart, of a passion. That's where wisdom rises above knowledge. Not only is wisdom knowing what to do, but it's having the gumption to act and to embrace our head knowledge with our heart knowledge. And so it is with these wise men that teach us things of our faith to strengthen us on our journey. You know, I saw in this text today three different examples by the wise men. Things that we can learn. Our scripture tells us first that they followed the light of Christ. They followed in the ways of our Lord. They sought Jesus, the light of the world. They went on the journey to follow Him. Now that's something for us to live by. It raises questions for us. Are we following the things or the people that are leading us somewhere? I saw recently in the news that there was a Hawaiian Airlines flight. Some of you may have seen this. It took off in the year 2018 and it landed in 2017. How about that? Took off in 2018 and landed in 2017. You know, I don't know about y'all, but at times in my life, I've been like that Hawaiian airline flight. I followed things that weren't taking me forward. They were taking me backwards. They were taking me in the wrong direction. And so it is that we examine our life here at the beginning of the new year. Are we following the one who will move us forward into more joy, into more love, into the life of Christ? That was the gift the Magi brought. They had a willingness to follow the light of Christ. What is the light of Christ? You know, to summarize our faith, many say that Christ can be defined with one word, love. The light of Christ is the love of Christ. Are we walking fervently in the love of Christ? You know, Jesus said in John 15, we spoke a few weeks ago about joy during this season of Advent. We spoke of how joy is a fullness, a contentment in us that transcends even happiness. Jesus said this in John 15. He said, after he'd spoken about love throughout that passage, he was quoted by John the writer to say, I've said this to you, speaking of love. I've said this to you to follow in my ways, to be light to the world. I've said this to you about love so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Wow. You think the wise men were that wise that they understood that in following Christ, yes, we're loving, but in following Christ, there is joy. You know, Matthew writes it here in our text today. He says that as the Magi went and they saw Jesus and his mother Mary, what was their response? They were filled with joy. That's the response of our faith. That's why we come on Sunday morning filled with energy and passion to worship our Lord. It's not so much a duty, our faith, as it is a gift to us as followers of Christ. There is a joy in the God I worship and the God we serve. When I preached that sermon a few weeks ago, I had two different people tell me this: my cup is overflowing today. You know, maybe there's not a better description of joy than that. Our cup overflowing. Perhaps that's what the psalmist meant in Psalm 23 when he said, "I shall not want." When we are content in God, when we have the joy of the Lord in us, we need less of everything else. That's been my experience, perhaps yours. God gives in us a joy that the world cannot. And as we embrace the journey of the Magi to follow in His life, our joy will indeed be complete. There's another example of faith that the Magi teach us, the wise men. Not only were they those who followed and sought the light of Christ, but they were also people of worship. Our scripture tells us here that as they saw the Christ child, they knelt down. Three times in our passage today, our scripture says they paid homage to the Lord. That's a reverence. A respectful humbling of self before the Almighty. You know, humility. Humility is a beautiful word. But it's often misunderstood. One of the best definitions of humility or being humble that I've heard is humility is not thinking less of ourselves. We don't want to just think poorly of ourselves. That's not being humble. No, humility is not so much thinking less of ourselves as it is thinking of ourselves less. We're concerned about the other. We understand the world doesn't revolve around us. We thank most of all God for His grace and what He's done in our life. That's the humbling, the reverential respect of the Almighty to know that we are nothing without His grace. That was the spirit of the Magi. That was part of their wisdom. They were those who knew the story, who sought the light of Christ, and they worshiped when they found Him. And there was a gift. Our scripture tells us that they were filled with joy. The response of seeking Christ and worshiping our Lord and being people of prayer, they must have been that as the Spirit laid it upon them. We heard a couple of weeks ago that Simeon, the one who blessed Jesus at the temple, was a man like the wise men, a man of worship and a man of prayer. A man of worship, which would be corporate giving thanks to God. A man of prayer, which is individual giving thanks to God. There's an intimacy. And the blessing of that is God's joy. Now, how do we make sense of this theologically? We, as good Protestants, in our Reformed tradition, we don't believe that we earn salvation from God. We believe it's a gift. So why do we have to work our fingers to the bone like the Magi? Why do we have to seek God? Why do we have to try to love more if it's all a gift? You see, I think we grow in God's grace by following more closely in the way of Jesus. Let me say it this way. My mamaw Gladys made the best pound cake in the world, bar none. Look it up in the history books. It'll show a picture of my Mama Gladys, best pound cakes ever been cooked. And my wife, Monya, just about has it perfected. Just about. She cooks a mighty good pound cake herself. And you know, Monya asked my Mama for that recipe a long time ago, and she gave it to her. Didn't take. She followed that recipe to a T. It didn't work. My Mama, if there's any saints in heaven, she's one of them, but I still think she left out some stuff on that recipe. She didn't want it exactly right. But you know what she ultimately did? She told Monya, she said, "You come to my house and you make it with me." And that's what she did. And she learned some things that you can't learn on a piece of paper when she practiced the art. You see, I think that's what it is about her faith. We can believe and know in our head that Jesus is the gift of life, but when we practice the faith, when we spend time with Him as Monya did intimately with our grandmother, you learn parts of His nature that you can't experience unless you journey with Him and follow Him. Surely that's what the Magi are saying to us. As they say, follow. Receive the gift of salvation, yes, but embrace your salvation to the fullness and know the joy that's found only in intimacy with God. Perfect that recipe. Spend time with the master chef who can create into you a delicacy of life that you'd know not without Him. That's the gift of our Lord. The Magi give us one other example today. Beyond following in the light and beyond worshiping, you know what else the Magi teach us? They teach us the gift of giving. Our scripture tells us they brought exotic and expensive treasures, and they presented what they had to God. They gave of themselves and new joy. You know, I'm convinced the Magi are saying to me and to us, there's a joy living outside of self. There's a joy that we found in giving our treasure chest that we thought we were giving, and ultimately we receive. We've heard it said many times before, you can't outgive God. Surely that speaks of our tithe, our contributions monetarily, but doesn't it also speak of our talents, of our gifts that God has graced us with? You know, this morning, we had a men's breakfast, a wonderful men's breakfast. A Gideon speaker came and shared with us. And we took up a little collection and we said, well, we're going to extend it a week because some of our men were out. And I failed to bring my checkbook today. And Leon said, boy, that sure is convenient. And I think Judge Elliott amen that. I failed to bring my checkbook. But you know what I did? Please receive this as humbly as I can say it. Pulled out my wallet and I had a $100 bill in there that somebody, Monya had given me back several years ago. It had some dust on it and moths and everything. I'd been saving it. And I just put a $100 bill in there in our little kitty. Walked right back, right after men's breakfast. Haven't told anybody this. Walked into my office. Sitting on my desk was an envelope to Jody Hill. Didn't know if it was a hate letter, mail bomb, didn't know what it was, but with the faith of our Lord, I opened it. Inside, I kid you not, was a $100 bill. Coincidence? I don't think so. You see, I think the Magi would call us as people who are wise to live outside of ourselves. Because yes, we can't outgive God, but also because there is a joy in giving our gifts that God has blessed us with for His glory. You know, we had a wonderful Christmas. I know many of you did, with family and friends. And I want to end today with a story that some of you have heard before, but it bears repeating today too, as we see the spirit of giving by the Magi. It's a story of Manya and our little niece, Charlie. Charlie was just a few years old when Manya went to keep her for a day or two with her brother Chuck. And Charlie is a lot like her Uncle Jody. She loves to eat. The more the better. Quality's good, but quantity's even better. And Charlie loves pancakes. And she was eating pancakes one morning, had a big old pancake. And Manya asked her, said, "Charlie, can I have a bite of your pancake?" And boy, old Charlie's face just kind of drooped. She's a sweet little precious girl, but she loves her pancakes. Didn't really want to have to share. And she pinched off just about as small a piece of pancake as you can pinch between a four-year-old's thumb and index finger. And she handed it to Manya. Just handed it to her. Manya took it and bragged on how good it was. But then Manya practiced epiphany. She took a whole big piece of bacon that she had on her plate and said, "Charlie, I have a piece of bacon here. Would you like my bacon?" That little girl's eyes opened up and she understood epiphany. This season where our eyes are open and we get to reveal the gift of giving of ourselves and the joy that's found when we embrace the spirit of the Magi to follow the light of Christ, to practice His love, to worship Him, and know the joy of our Savior. Amen. Friends, let's respond in